Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. There's another discussion going on, and it will continue for a while because people like to have this discussion about the media coverage. And a lot of folks in the media agreed with you, and these are folks that some people get annoyed with because they thought they weren't this harsh with President Trump, and some people don't have the best memory in the world with respect to what the media did with actions of Donald Trump. And there's also the argument that Trump had so many debacles in such a short time frame, it was impossible to give adequate coverage to any single debacle. What do you make of the media frenzy about this being a calamitous tactical blunder? And how have they handled themselves generally in the last few weeks? Because you had an important insight about this that I thought you wanted to share.
Well, I thought they handled it well, actually. Remember, when Trump was the president and he weaponized all of this, he called the media the enemy of the people. And so the opposition to Trump became, you know, everything was an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10, whether it was something that was impeachable or whether it was a stupid tweet. There was just always a crise du jour. Trump became, you know, virtually a state media figure for Fox News coverage. And that's completely unhelpful, enormously tribal, and only damages civil society in the United States. I think that the coverage of Biden for this, his first real crisis, by the mainstream media was pretty fair. And when I say fair, I mean it was all over the map. I don't think
that's what renders it fair, because
I think
some people of good faith, and there's lots of tribal folks who, you know, I love them too, but they're not always detached from this. I think there are people of good faith who thought there was a little bit of a pylon mentality at the outset of the evacuation. Isn't that fair?
What I'm saying. And this is personal to me because, as you know, I appear on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. And that is increasingly not easy to do in this environment. And I usually feel like they're leading the witness. I usually feel like they kind of know what they want the answer to be when they ask me the question.
That doesn't happen here on the podcast. I don't believe I've led you, but go ahead.
It doesn't happen at all. It's why I come on with you all the time, and that's why I love having you on my show. It's pretty clear. But we're also buddies. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's nothing you or I can say with each other that's going to undermine the relationship. So we don't give a shit, right?
There are a couple of things, Ian. I won't tell you what those things are, but I interrupted
there
you.
Are?
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know what those things are. Okay. So anyway, I just remembered going on, I think it was Wolf Blitzer the first time when this all breaks down, or Brett Beyer, you know, so I mean, similar kind of like, you know, primetime mainstream media, Fox and CNN. And I felt like both of them were legitimately asking me, my God, we have this serious crisis. And what do we make of it? Like, I really didn't feel like they wanted a pat answer for me that was going to support or go after what their presumed pre-existing ideological preference or political preference would be. And I think that on the one hand, I think that's really good because it's healthy in a democracy. On the other hand, fairly quickly, you got a lot of Biden supporters. And you mentioned our friend David Rothkopf, who's someone that I like. I think felt very strongly like you've got to support Biden because the alternative is Trump. And so we've got to give our guy his due, and it's not okay for everyone to pile on. I think there was a lot of that that then happened in reaction to the fact that a lot of erstwhile Biden friendly types were coming out and savaging Biden for mistakes on his watch. And I'll tell you again, this is personal to me. You and I both know a lot of members of the Biden cabinet. We know them personally.
Yes.
And we've known them for a long time. And I was actually quite surprised to see some of the mishandling of this crisis made directly by them as it was happening. It didn't in any way stop me from saying what I was going to say, because I'm fundamentally just not a partisan. I'm not Team Joe. I've never been a member of a party. But from a personal perspective, I had to sort of check that this is what I have. This is my relationship with this person. This is what I think about them. This is what I know about them. And how come they're screwing this up? Right. And yeah. And that to me was a little bit challenging.
Just a quick follow up on the press question. Is there some reason to believe that the press is too close to the story because of their involvement with lots of folks in Afghanistan, interpreters and others themselves?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Elaborate
and
on
you've
that.
You've seen this. You've seen that with our friend Richard Engel, right? Who is for whom this has been very personal, and he has gone from being a journalist, and he's a very capable journalist, to becoming an opinion writer on what's happening in Afghanistan. And I think that's undermined his coverage personally, and I'm sure he's going to hear this, and I hope he doesn't hate me.
He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. I know, you know, we're all acquaintances and friends, but you say it in good faith.
I say good faith.
Yeah.
I suspect you agree with me.
I don't have any views for purposes of this podcast.
I don't know if you want to say that. You may not want to admit that.
Look, I think it is important to acknowledge. I just think in all of these debates, like I've never, until Trump, and even during Trump, I didn't think of myself as a particular partisan, because I don't think of Trump as being a Republican. I just think Trump was a terrible person and a terrible leader for the country. And I think there are lots of views that I don't agree with that are being made in good faith, whether it's on tax policy or trade policy or poverty policy, you name it. And I've always been friendly with and had conversations and discussions with people who disagreed with me on various points. And I think it's just important as this debate continues, and look, maybe there'll be investigations and maybe there'll be accountability such as it is, because people are upset about various aspects of this, to recognize when someone is too close to a story. And I think, for a lot of reporters, it's very personal. And the war reporters who have very courageously, and I include Richard Engel in that group, very courageously,
absolutely,
at personal risk of death to themselves, remained in country. You know, Clarissa Ward of CNN as well. And, you know, there's a handful of them. And, you know, in any given year, there are journalists who die for their trade covering these kinds of things. And so I think, you know, one can be forgiven being a human being and being close to this and being, look, I'll give you another group of folks, very different from journalists. They're a bunch of vets, and it's been very moving and heartbreaking to hear them talk about the networks that they have set up to try to save people who were allies, interpreters and others. And there is a sense of great despondency among yes. that group, notwithstanding Absolutely. What like two dudes like Ian and Preet will say about the generalized success of getting, you know, 120,000 people out. Well, there's 100 to 200 Americans who are still there. And there are thousands and thousands of Afghan allies who are still there. And so I don't begrudge anyone.
No, and you and I saw Seth Multan, who you and I both know personally, again, and gets on a plane and goes to Kabul. And maybe it was ill-advised at the time. But we also know that this is a guy that served and feels very personally about this stuff. And it's harder to criticize when they've been through it. But I do think that we do know, Preet, that the media is a self-licking ice cream cone. And we know.
Did you coin that?
I don't know if I've heard that or not before, but it is, right? You can visualize it, right? It just keeps going and going. And when Jamal Khashoggi was killed, which was a horrible thing, but was not more horrible than the war in Yemen, it got a hell of a lot more attention, particularly from the Washington Post, because that was their guy. And, you know, I do honestly believe that a lot of these translators on the ground in Afghanistan trying to get out, facing, you know, sort of the threat of death for them and their families with the Taliban and the members of the media covering the story have been on the ground with these people. They have deep personal relations. They want them out. They have become part of the story. And frankly, that's one of the reasons the story will have longer legs than it would if it were just average Joe getting killed and facing that. There's no question that's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't begrudge people their humanity and their strong feelings, but I think it's important in trying to have a rigorous discussion to see where people sit and see what their points of view may be and how they might be influenced.
Well, my point would be, Preet, I know you well enough to say that if you had an enormous personal sensibility and feeling about the rightness or justice of a cause, but you knew you were personally conflicted, you would make that very publicly known. that would be a part of the story for you. You would talk about it.
Yeah.
And where I have a problem and I don't forgive it as easily is when you have journalists that are putting out the story and aren't being honest about where their personal connection to the story comes from.
That's fair.
I think you need that self-reflection.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.